Please join me in prayer. Lord, let it be your voice that speaks through my mouth, and let our hearts and minds be open and receptive to hearing the word and mission you have for us here today. Amen. 10 years ago today, a troubled man barricaded himself inside a one-room schoolhouse in West Nickel Mines, Pennsylvania. He killed 5 children and severely injured 5 others, then shot himself. Afterwards, the grieving Amish community responded to their horrific losses in a surprising way. This morning, we'll reflect on their response in light of Psalm 137. And we'll begin by listening to an interview of the killer's mother, Terry Roberts, which was heard on NPR's Morning Edition earlier this week. Might want up the volume.
As I turn on the radio, on the way there, the newscaster was reporting that there had been a shooting at the local Amish schoolhouse. By that time, I was at my son's home, and I saw my husband and the state trooper standing right in front of me as I pulled in. And I looked at my husband. He said, "It was Charlie." That week, we had a very private funeral for our son. But as we went to the gravesite, we saw 30 to 40 Amish start coming out from around the side of the graveyard. And they surrounded us like a crescent. And love just emanated from them. I will never forget the devastation caused by my son.
She said, "I will never forget the devastation caused by my son." The devastation inflicted upon the Amish, upon the Roberts family, and upon the entire community. It wasn't just the loss of loved and innocent young lives, but the loss of innocence itself, the loss of an identity they thought they had. Their rural existence, isolated from all of the stuff that goes on in the outside world, was replaced with the isolation of grief. On that day, Terry Roberts, the ordinary mother of an ordinary man living an ordinary life in an ordinary little town, became the mother of a mass murderer. She later wrote, "I was, always will be, his mother. Surely if anyone could spot the signs of trouble, it would be the woman who gave birth to him." But she didn't. No one did. We see these same emotions, guilt, grief, unresolved and unresolvable questions in this morning's reading. The surviving Jews in Psalm 137 are exiles in Babylon, strangers in a strange land. Their homes and their stable and prosperous lives are gone forever. Why were they spared when so many of their friends and family had died? Their city, their whole nation had been destroyed. Their identity is gone. Even their God is gone because the temple that connected them to their creator and protector is in ruins. Evil is sneaky. It rarely announces itself at the door. It sneaks into our lives through the pain and the loss that we encounter each and every day. Grief is not to be minimized or ignored. It is a valid emotion, essential, in fact, because all things have an opposite. For light, there is dark. For wealth, there is poverty. For evil, there is good. For loneliness, there is companionship. We cannot really know one until we know the other. So grief must exist. Otherwise, we would never know what it means to be loved, like the unexpected and redeeming love that the Roberts family received in the midst of their devastation. Until then, and like their Amish neighbors and the Jews of long ago, their grief and their loss left them feeling isolated, alone, empty, betrayed, guilty. Terry says that when she first heard the news, she fell down on the floor, she curled up in a fetal position, and she howled. How could her son have done this to those innocent children? How could he have done this to her? She later wrote, "I've said to God, I simply don't understand how you could let it happen. You could have given his car a flat tire. In the end, I've had to admit that there can be no understanding. I've chosen to trust God because there's nothing else I can do. I have no understanding of why." Neither did the Jews understand why, as they sat there by the waters of Babylon, weeping, just like Terry wept, lying on that floor. Neither did the Amish understand why. Their children had gone to school that morning, laughing, playing, happy, but they never returned. How could God do this to them? How can God do such things to us? There is no understanding evil. Assurances of healing and redemption and glory in the afterlife, they're in a better place, is bull. Offering cheap grace doesn't fix the problem. It only deepens the grief of the very people we need to help. I imagine almost no one was at the funeral of Terry's son that day besides a very few family members and the minister. And yet suddenly dozens of Amish, the mothers and the fathers and the uncles and the aunts and the grandparents of those who were hurt and killed, show up. She talks of the love that poured out of them and how healing that was, even though she will never forget what their son did to them. Nor will they. The Amish knew that the Roberts family was just as lost and alone and grieving as they were. Their faith and ours teaches that we must forgive. And so they came. They knew that to move forward, they must confront their grief, not ignore or hide it. They knew it is not good to grieve alone, and they knew they could not ignore the grief and the losses of their neighbor. The opposite of grief is love. The opposite of isolation is companionship, and the opposite of evil is good. The Amish offered the Roberts family companionship. They offered love and identity to replace what had vanished forever on that evil morning. And hiding grief and loss lay at the heart of what had gone wrong. In Charlie's suicide note, he said he could no longer live with the past hurts, the past evils that had been done to him. They were things that his mother had never known about. No one knew about them. He did not know how to ask for help. He did not know who to ask for help. He did not know where to go for help. He was lost in the darkness, without hope and without light. Evil isolates us, cuts us off from those who love us, from those who want to help. Evil results from the lie that we are alone, that no one else can help, that no one else cares, and that there is no hope for the future. And what is our faith all about, after all? This is World Communion Day, a day that emphasizes community, focuses our thoughts upon our unity with all our sisters and brothers all around the world, regardless of who they are or what they believe. We are reminded that we are united through God's love for all of creation and through God's love for each of us individually as well. We are not alone, not forgotten. Even our worship here or in our daily lives reflects what Christ's ministry is all about. Walking with each other, being physically present with each other and for those around us, it is about caring for each other, sharing what we have, whether good or bad. We reach out and we minister to each other, especially when the journey is too much for us to continue on alone anymore. Now, when I first selected this image for this point in the sermon, it seemed very out of place. A humorous slide in the midst of a discussion of grief and loss, but there's a deeper message here. And so I think it actually was a good choice. I hope you agree with me. Yes, we will hit the key, but we won't continue. Any student of the functioning of the mind will tell you that when unacknowledged pain is buried within us, it will always eventually pop up in unexpected ways, at unexpected times, and with unexpected consequences. Never good ones. We can't stop it from happening. So it is far better to deal with the pain and grief proactively rather than waiting for it to explode out of us on its own. And that's what this slide tells us. Hit any key to continue. Sure, with a sledgehammer, obviously. Taking revenge upon a lifeless piece of equipment out of misplaced anger and long simmering grief. We've all done it. We see this in our reading. There are so many ministers of people I know who hate the ending lines of Psalm 137. The poet's imagining dashing Babylonian children against the rocks. What a terrible ending to such a beautiful poem. Why is it here? I'll tell you. The poet is dealing with his own grief, anger, and guilt. He's not burying it. By expressing how he felt, he was letting out the pain that darkened every bit of his soul. He was finding his healing. The Amish know this and help Terry and her family to find it too. Terry's son never learned that lesson. Don't bury your anger. And don't throw or smash things either, at least not valuable ones. Acknowledge how you feel. Talk it out, because that is what everyone around you here this morning, all of whom are people who love God and love you, are ready to offer. We listen. We'll give you a hug, dry your tears, walk with you, hold your hand, share a meal. That's what we do. That's what God has called all people of faith to do, to love and to commune with each other, even when it hurts. It all starts with just showing up. Just like the Amish did that day. Let's listen to the end of Terry's interview.
One of the fathers the other night, he said, none of us would have ever chosen this. But the relationships that we have built through it, you can't put a price on that. And their choice to allow life to move forward is quite a healing balm for us. And I think it's a message the world needs.
She said she was talking to one of the Amish fathers the other day. This is 10 years later. Those relationships lasted. It wasn't a hug and go sort of thing. Out of their mutual grief and loss, the Roberts family and the Amish have moved forward. They've built new identities, new relationships, and new reasons for living. The evil, the devastation, and the grief will never be forgotten, but it does not control who they are now. That's what our faith is all about. That's why we celebrate World Communion Sunday, and that's why the Jews survived their Babylonian exile. That's why their faith still lives on in their descendants today and in us. When all else failed, they still had each other. And they came to realize that even with the temple gone, they still had God, as do Terry, as do the Amish, and as do we. I'll repeat what Terry said at the end of the interview. Their choice to allow life to move forward was quite a healing balm for us. And I think it's a message the world needs. Amen.